More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, heartbroken. Are you struggling to heal a broken heart? Whether it's from grief, betrayal, or loss, we'll help you find the path back to wholeness. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, heartbroken. We're talking about those times when we experience grief, betrayal, loss, disappointment of some kind. How can we respond to those upsetting events in ways that allow us to heal, discover God's plan for the next chapter, and move forward with confidence and grace? It's a big question, and we're happy to talk it out with you today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Once again, that's 877-573-7825.
So we're asking you today, is there a hurt you've been carrying that just won't seem to heal? Maybe your heart got broken by someone you love, a spouse, a child, a close friend. Or maybe life itself dealt you the blow, and you're grieving the loss of someone or something you can't imagine living without. Are you trying to hold it together on the outside, even though you're still struggling on the inside? Are you trying to deal with it by just trying to move on or offer it up, but it's just not working very well, and you're not sure what to do to feel better? Or maybe you're watching someone you love walk through a heartbreak of their own, and you feel helpless to help them. However your heart is hurting today, let us help you find the path back to wholeness. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I mean, I don't think there's anybody who hasn't dealt with this kind of heartbreak that we're talking about. Because we're using the term broadly, you know, not just in terms of breakups, but
any kind
of disappointment that we experience in life where, you know, we are grieving either the loss of something or someone. We are grieving the fact that this person let us down in some way or betrayed us, that things didn't turn out the way we wish they would. I mean, that's just pretty much life. But the question is, how do we respond to that in a faithful way? And I can say that the things we're going to be talking about through the program are things that I try to use personally in facing those disappointments and setbacks.
Definitely.
They're things that I coach our clients through at CatholicCounselors.com. And I've been blessed to see the fruit in my own life and the lives of others from the kinds of things that we're talking about. Because it's, and we'll discuss this in our Theology of the Body reflection, but it's, you know, it's tempting to just sort of say, well, this is the way it is, and just try to settle. But that is not what God calls us to. He calls us to cooperate with His grace so that we can respond to and heal and glorify Him in our response to those disappointments, setbacks, sufferings, losses. But it's hard to know how to get there. So that's what we're talking about. 877-573-7825.
It's hard to know how to get there without just throwing up platitudes or trying to hide. Because the world will tell us one thing, our feelings will tell us one thing. But as Christian people, we have this odd phrase called the triumph of the cross. And when you say God's not calling us, you know, to look at it the way the world does, That phrase, the triumph of the cross, is such a confusing phrase to almost all of us human beings, you know, who just, we know the pain, we know the finality of certain things here on earth. The triumph of the cross, the worst thing that's ever happened, you know, the death of Jesus Christ on a cross, is triumphant. He's calling us to small triumphs along the way in our life when we're hurting, when we're grieving, when we're heartbroken, not by our own stamina, but by a connection and relationship that we build with God through the pain, so He can bring triumph out of it. He can bring a closer relationship with Him. He can bring us into greater virtue. He can show us His plan. It's very, very different than just either ignoring our pain, white-knuckling it through, or just getting lost in it.
Amen. And, you know, and the triumph of the cross is not the cross itself, because if it ended at the cross, there would be no triumph. It's the cross points to the resurrection that comes after. And that's an encouragement to all of us, that there is a resurrection that comes after our cross. Yeah. And we want to help you find that today on More to Life.
And often we think as Christians that the resurrection, the only one we're talking about, is Jesus's or our own eternal life with Him. But He can give us triumphs over all the pain we go through here, little by little, to draw us closer to Him, to make us more of a healed person, more of a holy person, more of a witness to what He can do, even here on earth in our very mixed up, crazy lives.
877-573-7825. Today's show titled Heartbroken, as we talk about those times when we're needing to heal a broken heart, whether that's because of disappointments in our life, grief and loss, even betrayal. If your heart is heavy or broken for whatever reason, let us help you find the path back to wholeness. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, you know, how could some theology help me deal with all of this? Then you've come to the right place, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Essentially, he wondered, what would it mean for the Catholic person to thrive, to really cooperate with God's grace, to lead the abundant life that he's calling us to? What would it mean for Catholics to celebrate truly healthy and holy relationships? And his answer to those questions became what we now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that pain, loss, and betrayal are not signs that the world, well, are signs that the world that, let me clear my throat here. Pain, loss, and betrayal are signs the world is not working the way God designed it. But ever since the fall, God has been working to restore the world to its original glory. The heartbreak we feel in the face of grief, loss, and betrayal is meant to be a reminder that God doesn't want us to settle for or be defined by the pain that we go through. It's meant to motivate us to bring the wound to our Heavenly Father so that He can heal it and show us what to do next.
You know, when we're heartbroken, most people either try to put on a brave face and just push through, or we settle and we tell ourselves this is just the way it is. But neither is really an option for the Christian. Instead, God's calling us to cooperate with His grace so that He can bring healing out of the pain.
And I want to be clear here. That doesn't mean that what we've been through doesn't hurt. It just means refusing to let ourselves be defined by grief, loss, or betrayal. And instead, we pray and work toward the resurrection that comes after the cross until our hearts are healed and our lives reflect the power and the glory of God's grace.
So, if your heart's broken today, don't pretend that things are better than they are, and don't tell yourself that this is just the way things are meant to be. Instead, bring your situation to God and ask Him, Lord, teach me to respond to this pain in a way that bears witness to Your healing power, helps me be my best self, and challenges the people around me to be their best too. And then reflect on what small steps you can begin to take to move toward the healing that God has in store for you. And remember that blessed are those who mourn, because they are the ones that God has promised to comfort. All right. Brave words, encouraging words, hard to apply, especially when we're going through it. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you struggling with a broken heart because of grief or betrayal or loss or disappointment? We're going to talk about how to respond to that pain in ways that open you up to God's plan for your life, enable you to cooperate with the grace to experience the healing that He has in His heart for you, and discern the next chapter that God's calling you to. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father, and the
Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today and we bring you our heavy hearts, those disappointments, those frustrations, the grief that we feel, the loss, all those things in life that are not going according to our plan or perhaps even yours. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to respond to those things in ways that can bear witness to the power and your glory, to your grace, to your healing. Help us to not just push through on our own power or settle and say that this is the way things are meant to be, but rather respond to those challenges in ways that allow us to experience your healing and know the next chapter you're calling us to. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're talking about disappointments, and the show's titled Heartbroken, as we talk about how to heal a broken heart. Whether it's grief or betrayal or loss or disappointments, we want to help you find the path to wholeness and discern the next chapter that God has for you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Catherine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in South Carolina.
Hey, Catherine. Welcome to the show. What's your question for us today?
Hi. I heard the topic, and it really made me, it really kind of resonated with me. Mm-hmm. I've been going through a tough time lately. I've had, I'm 34, and I've been in the hospital 10 times, and then most of my family has died. And so I'm very kind of behind where I thought I would be, like professionally and personally. Like, I'm not married, I don't have children, I probably won't have that, so that's very hard for me. And then I've not been able to spend as much time with other people my age because I'm always going through something physically or dealing with a sick family member or something. And so I don't really have a lot of friendships either, and I get kind of bogged down and like sad about all these things, and I don't really know how to like move forward.
How are you praying through this right now? What do you feel that God is calling you to? And when you have prayed about it, where are you at in that conversation with God right now?
Honestly, the last couple of weeks, I've not really been praying a whole lot. I actually have COVID right now, and that's really affected my prayer life. I go to church every week. I didn't this past week because I've had COVID, but I've used.
I'm very sorry that you're sick with that.
Yeah, the isolation and the exhaustion makes that very hard. But before that,
because this has been going on for a while, so how have you, you know, how do you, how have you been praying about it, and how, you know, how, where are you in that conversation about discerning what is God calling you to through all of this? Do you have any sense of that at all?
I guess normally when I pray, like, I like to look at the rule of Saint Benedict, because I feel like that's something it's short and it has something every day, and then I tend to see, well, It like has like an index of like Bible passage. So then in most days, so then I go to that Bible passage and I kind of try to do Lectio Divina. And so sometimes it's helpful, but sometimes not.
When it's helpful, talk to me. When you say it's helpful, how do you mean?
Well, like sometimes like, like Psalm 136, which this wasn't from the book of Saint Benedict, but like Psalm 136, I recently read, actually did pray today. I looked at it, and it was about a kind of like God's love, and all the things God has done for us and God done for, well, for Israel, meaning us.
Okay, so Catherine, you're doing some good things, and I want to encourage you to keep those things up, but you're skipping a step that I think is going to be really important. Okay, so when we do devotions, whether those are the devotions you're talking about, or even the rosary, or any other thing that's meaningful, those devotions are meant to do, well, three things. One, teach us how to pray. Two, take our prayer life deeper. But also create space for us to listen to what God might be saying to us about his call. But in order for us to do really any of those things effectively, any of those three things effectively, we need to talk to him from our heart first. And I think that's the piece that you're missing. You know, you've been very dutiful, and you've been engaging in spiritual practices that are meaningful to you. But you're struggling to really hear God's plan for your life because you're not really asking him. You're not bringing him, the way you're describing your prayer life, you're not really bringing him your heart and saying, Lord, how do I respond to this? What are you calling me to in the middle of this? How, you know, you're saying that the psalm that you read, you know, was giving you comfort. And that's good, but we need to look for more than comfort from our prayer life. We need to look for the action plan. And so we need, in order to do that, we need to say, okay, Lord, this is what I'm going through. Teach me how you want me to respond to this. How is it that you want me to be a blessing in spite of the difficulties that I'm experiencing? And it's about leaning into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. How can I respond to this in a way that allows me meaningfulness to use my gifts to make a positive difference either in my situation or the lives of those around me, the people who are attending to me? Intimacy, how can I respond to whatever I'm going through in a way that lets me take my relationships deeper and make them healthier and stronger? And virtue, how can I respond to this in a way that challenges me to grow? In ways that enable me to be a healthier, stronger, holier person. And those little, you can answer those questions in little ways that kind of help you identify how to respond to the challenges of the day, but also in bigger ways that help snap the bigger picture into focus. And we really talk through this in our book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about dealing with the kinds of long-term issues that you're struggling with. But it's really all about starting by asking God, you know, how do you want me to respond to the challenges of this day and in general, and then doing those larger devotions as a way of creating space to listen to what God might be saying through Lectio or through the other devotions that you're doing.
And I think that when we do this, we're really following the example of Jesus in the garden, where he was terrified, you know, sweating blood, did not want to have to go and suffer and die because, you know, fully human, he knew what that was going to feel like. And so first he asked his friends to come and pray alongside of him and wait while he went and talked to the Father. Then he went, you know, so you ask people that, you know, you put yourself on the prayer list at church, whatever those things that you can do to get somebody to kind of come alongside of you. And then we follow Jesus' example of going and talking to the Father very honestly. You know, talking to God, saying, I don't want this. I want this cup to pass, but I also want your will. I'm struggling with this, Lord. When Jesus poured out his heart in full honesty to the Father sent angels to minister to him, to give him the strength, to help him to do the will of God. And we can follow that example of that honesty, of asking people for prayer, of really asking God to help us along the way. So all the devotions you're doing, keep doing them. They're wonderful, but don't be afraid to pour your heart out to God. Sometimes we feel like we're not measuring up, but we're really following the example of the person who measured up the most, the Son of God himself.
So I believe that God does have a plan for your life, and that you aren't deviating from it. But to discover that plan, you have to really bring him your questions in the first place.
And your heartbreak.
And have more of, and I think this is an invitation from the Holy Spirit to develop a more personal relationship with God. You know, if I just walked up to you, to Lisa, and I just sort of randomly said to her, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. That would be a lovely thing to say, but then she'd kind of walk away from that like, well, cool talk, bro. You know, I mean, like,
well, yes, and if I only looked at proof that you loved me by every card or letter you ever sent me. I go back to them. That can buoy me up. They can say, oh, look how much we've loved each other for so long. But if I'm hurting or have a question in our relationship or need your assurance, I need to come to you and have that conversation.
So my point is, you know, we can say those formal devotions, which teach us how to go deeper in our relationship, but it assumes that there's a relationship to begin with. And so if I could say that poem to you, and it would be meaningful if every day I'm saying, hey, how can I love you better today? Right. What do you need from me today?
So it's never too late to start that deeper relationship with Christ, Catherine.
To follow up, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com or check out our book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about dealing with disappointments in the light of faith. So check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. Catherine, thank you for the call, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or check us out at CatholicCounselors.com. We'd love to walk with you and help you discern the next steps that God has for you. 877-573-7825. We are taking your calls about disappointments and heartbreak on our show today, titled Heartbroken. And as we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, who will be sharing some insights from her life. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Heartbroken, as we talk about those times when we need to heal a broken heart, whether caused by grief, betrayal, disappointment, loss. We want to help you find your path back to wholeness. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Lisa.
We're so glad to have you here. And your family of, 13 people has gone through a lot of ups and downs. What have you found that has helped you the most in your spiritual journey through times that are difficult?
Well, I want to talk specifically to those people who are in long-term disappointment, those people who have continued to pray, whether it's for the return of a child back to the church or back to a wholeness with a family. It could be like myself dealing with a chronic illness, and we can get very weary of this cross, visible cross God has asked us to carry, but we can't give up. And what I have found, like you mentioned earlier, Lisa and Greg, is I have to be honest with God. And mine comes every morning when I have to strap on a brace I wear so I can walk because of my MS. And there are some mornings where I cry as I'm putting it on. One more time. Lord, why this? Why can't you heal me? It's been more than 12 years, like the woman in the Bible. Or it's anger as I stumble one more time and fall. Long-term, crosses and long-term disappointment is a time for us to really stand at the cross with Mary, who carried that sorrowful heart for such a long time. And there are times when I don't want to pray about it. I just want to cry. I want to be angry. And I let myself do that, knowing that doesn't shake my faith. But God is there with me. The Blessed Mother is there. And I can be my true, authentic, emotional mess of a person with Jesus loving me throughout all of it. And so during those times, maybe it's just holding a rosary or looking at a picture of Christ on the cross that gets you through that moment.
You know, one thing that I'm so grateful that you're sharing your personal experience with us and really kind of testifying to how you find God's grace in the middle of your own ongoing medical issues. And as you're talking, though, for folks who are wondering, well, how do I start to pray about this? You know, one of the most insightful and practical pieces of advice I ever heard was to turn our thoughts into prayers. You know, instead of just letting the thought go through your head, oh, I'm so frustrated with this, say, Lord, I'm so frustrated with this. Stick Lord in front of your thought.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so angry that I have to go through this. Lord, I'm so angry that I have to go through this.
Yes.
And then listen, but be talking to him throughout the day by turning your thoughts into prayers, by just sticking Lord in front of what you're saying in your head, and then starting to listen to what he's saying through the experiences that we have throughout the day, but also through those devotions like we were talking about with our previous caller. You know, and it sounds to me like, Rachel, that that's the approach that you're taking through all of this, that you're not just you know, saying words at God, but you're really bringing your heart to God and then listening to what he's saying through your devotions, through your prayer life. And I want to thank you for being so real and really encouraging all of our listeners to develop that kind of real and honest prayer life with God so that he can teach all of us how to respond to the challenges that we face. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to beholdpublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. That's beholdpublications.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825. The show today titled Heartbroken. Let's help you deal with their disappointments.
How does the Catholic Church regard the economy and social justice? The Catholic Catechism states the development of economic activity and growth in production are meant to provide for the needs of human beings. Economic life, first of all, is ordered to the service of persons, the whole man and the entire human community. Human work comes from persons who have been created in the image and likeness of their Creator God, who commissions them to prolong the work of creation by subduing the earth both with and for one another. Work is a duty, says the Catechism. St. Paul writes, if anyone will not work, let him not eat. Work honors the gifts and talents God has bestowed on his creatures. Work can be redemptive when its hardships are placed in union with Jesus. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Has someone you love gone cold on you? Maybe they've pulled away without explanation. Maybe there's been a rift that neither of you knows how to bridge. Maybe you've tried everything and still feel like you're on the outside looking in. Here's something I've learned after decades of working with hurting families. The first move isn't to figure out the right words. It's to clarify the concern. Sometimes something as simple as, I value our relationship and it feels like something's come between us. I'm open to working on it if you are. Can you help me understand where you're at? Can open a door that's been stuck for years. But here's the part that's a little harder to hear. You know, for love to be real, It has to be freely given and freely received. We can invite, we can listen, we can set limits around hurtful behavior, but what we can't do is force someone to accept the relationship you're offering, and that can be hard to accept. For more help, check out the practical tips I lay out for handling this kind of impasse in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Heartbroken, as we talk about how do we heal a broken heart? How do we respond to grief, betrayal, loss, disappointment? The fact is, we all experience times when life does not go the way we wanted it to go.
Absolutely.
And it's easy to either just push through on our own power or try to just sort of accept it as this is the way it is. The theology of the body reminds us that God is calling us to something else, which is that we need to acknowledge the pain we're in is real. We're not denying how serious it is and how much it hurts. But we're not allowing ourselves to be defined by that pain. And in fact, St. John Paul reminded us that who we need to be defined by is who God created us to be in the beginning and who he is making us to be once again through his grace. And that we respond to the grief, the pain, the loss by really looking at what is God calling us to next? How does he want us to respond to this in a way that allows his power, his grace, his glory, his healing to be revealed? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with PK, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Scotland.
PK in Scotland, welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Hi, good day. I was calling you on a topic, and I wanted to ask a question related to it. My question is particularly on how does someone heal from the hurt they've caused to someone else, particularly in terms of relationships when you know you've not been the best of yourself to the women God has brought to your life.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but would you be willing to share a little bit more about like what kind of a relationship we're talking about, or what's the nature of the offense?
Relationship, as in dating, as an example, when you're seeing someone and the two of you are in a relationship and you've treated them badly. In different cases. Perhaps you guys are not together anymore. You've both moved on, but you know, at certain times in your life, you kind of reflect on how you've behaved towards the person, and you know you've not been the best of yourself.
Mm-hmm. And so you're asking, how do you heal your own heartbreak from the way you behaved in the past?
Yes. How do I heal from my own guilt of how I've treated that person in the past?
It's a wonderful question, PK. It really is. And I think it's very humble of you to ask it and very searching for God in your life for you to get to the point where you can ask that question.
And can I ask, just so I know where to go with the answer, is that person that you hurt still in your life? Is it possible to apologize to them, or would that be inappropriate at this point?
Yeah, it would be possible. We'll still keep in touch every once in a while, but we'll never really discuss those things. But once in a while, we still do speak.
Okay. So I guess there are two things that I would suggest. You know, and I'm glad that you're bringing this up, because we can be heartbroken by ourselves, by the things that we've done.
And in all honesty, being heartbroken because we've done something to hurt somebody else, and not getting mired in it so that it becomes sort of just self-flagellation and self-pity, but actually saying, what can I do differently, is a way that God moves us into virtue and helps us to heal that relationship, but also kind of heal the world, being part of the world saying, we want to do better. You know, and when we correct ourselves, when we let other people know that we are sorry, and then we try to do better, we're taking those still, like those little steps to be able to show the world how to live better in Christ.
So I would say that there are three steps here, or three things that you're maybe wanting to look at, right? The first one is really exactly what Lisa is talking about. If you to reflect a little bit on that relationship and say, if I had it to do over again, and I could be the person that God was calling me to be, what would I do and say differently? How would I respond to those challenges if I was facing them now and I could be my best self? What would that even look like? Because I think that a lot of times we get as far as regret. We think, I shouldn't have done that.
And then we get very self-flagellating. Oh, I was such a jerk. Oh, I wasn't a good person. Oh, I hurt them. And it just gets stuck, as you were saying, Greg, in regret rather than in improvement in any way.
Well, or the next place we get stuck, let's say we get past that and we think, well, I should have done something differently. But then we stop there and we don't think, well, what could I have done, right? So the next step is, well, what would I have done and said? If I could have been that more virtuous, godly, grace-filled person that I wanted to be, what would I have done and said? And then the next step is really saying, and how would I hold myself accountable in similar situations to make sure that I behave that way? So that leads to now step two, which is, because step one was reflecting on the relationship and what would I do differently then? Step two is really saying, in my life now, When do I experience similar things, similar problems with other people or in my life? Where do I have the opportunity to practice responding like I wish I had then? Right? Because if I can look and say, where is God giving me opportunities to grow? I can't heal that relationship back there. I can't undo what I did. But I can learn and grow and see ways in my present life that I can respond differently to similar challenges in my life and relationships, so I can see that I am learning and I am making progress and I'm cooperating with God's grace. The third thing, since you are in contact with this person still, is to bring these things that you have to have these insights, so you have to do steps one and two really, but then you can go back to that person and say, I just wanted you to know, I've been reflecting and I've been praying. And our relationship really showed me some things about myself that I wasn't happy to see. And I've been really working hard to make those changes in my life now. And I want to thank you for letting me be able to see that about myself. And I want to say that I'm sorry that I wasn't the person that I wish I was then. Yeah. That this is who I'm trying to be now. I wish I could have been that for you then. And I'm sorry that I let you down and I let myself down. But again, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to learn that about myself. And if there's anything that I can do now to show you that I'm sorry or to heal the damage that my actions did to you, I'm open to hearing that, and I would like to know what those would be.
And it's very important that you affirm that you're not trying to get back with her, you're not trying to use your repentance and your change in who you are to woo her back. So these aren't just empty words. This is really you trying to be your better self as you grow. And God allows us to do that. He doesn't hold our mistakes against us. We can see that where after the resurrection, he's on the beach with Peter, who's denied him three times. And he says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep." And he goes through this three times with Peter, letting him know there's a way he can do this differently. He has a mission. His messing up in such a profound way is being used in God's greater plan, as long as Peter's willing to cooperate with it. So we can take our mistakes. We can take when we're less than we're called to be and bring it to God. Bring it to the people, if they're still in our lives, who we can have this conversation with. But really say to ourselves, how can we handle things like this differently in the future so I can be my more godly self?
You know, Romans 8:1 says that there is now therefore no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that strikes us as an odd verse, because we do beat up on ourselves a lot, and it feels like we're condemned a lot of the time. But that's not what God wants for us. He does want us to look seriously at the things that we've done. But healthy guilt actually feels hopeful. If I look at the things that I've done to hurt Lisa or anybody else, if I'm experiencing healthy guilt, I sort of have this sense of the Holy Spirit saying to me, "Well, hey, Greg, this is what we can do to make this right. You know, let me hold my hand and let me show you how to heal this. Let's go to Lisa and work this out. Let's go to that person and figure out what we can learn from this." And I feel hopeful about my offense, as opposed to scrupulosity, which is where, okay, I did this thing, and now I'm going to sit in my wrongness and be wrong, and just kind of wallow in it. And that tells, and I feel like, well, that's kind of a performative penance. If I make myself feel really bad enough, then everybody will know how sorry I am, and I will finally be worthy of forgiveness. But that actually separates us from God's grace that he's giving us to actually heal the offense and learn and grow.
And I think, PK, that you can be assured that the Holy Spirit is working in this, that you had hope when you listened today to this show. You had hope when you said, I'll call in. Maybe God will show me some things. Maybe I can find steps forward. That was the Holy Spirit working in your life. So you can move forward with hope in Christ, being honest with him and really talking to him and saying, what can I start to do differently when I find myself in situations like this, in feelings like I had before, so that I can be the man you want me to be, Lord?
So God doesn't want you to beat yourself up about the things that you've done, but he wants you to take them seriously and learn from them. And so those three steps. Number one, you know, ask yourself, if I had to do those things over in that relationship, what would I have done differently? How, if I wanted to be the man that God was calling me to be in those situations, what would I have done or said differently? And really map that out. Step two, where in my life now do I see these similar situations coming up where I'm kind of responding in that old way? And what would I need to do differently to take the lessons from that relationship and apply them to all the areas of my life now? And then thirdly, you can go back to that person with those insights and be able to apologize for what you did and describe where you're at now and what you might be able to do to be helpful moving forward.
And remember, you don't have to come up with all the new ways on your own. Take it to God as you process that and you think about that and you're writing those things down so you can really concretize them for yourself. He wants to give you new insights and new hope.
And, you know, you don't have to do it on your own either. If you would like some help kind of really working through this and figuring out what God is calling you to next, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We have clients all over the world. We'd be happy to work with you and help you find what God is calling you to next. PK, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your openness to the Holy Spirit healing your heart and challenging you to grow in new ways. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Heartbroken, as we talk about healing a broken heart and whether our heart is broken because of loss or grief or betrayal or just life not working out the way we wanted it to. That kind of heartbreak is something that we all deal with. And so the challenge is, how do we deal with it gracefully?
Yeah.
And discover what God's calling you to next? Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
And I mean, we are all familiar with this verse. I mean, of course, it's one of the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't know. I think that when a lot of us hear this verse, we sort of see it as almost like a greeting card affirmation. Yeah. It's like, you know,
it's anything but
it's God saying, oh, it'll be okay. That's not what Jesus is saying in this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. In order for me to feel blessed when I'm mourning, God's got to show up in a pretty mighty way. Or
very
I'm just going to feel alone and lost, right?
Yeah.
Jesus is saying God will show up in a mighty way for those who are grieving, whose hearts are broken. But in order to experience that, we need to bring our hearts to him, honestly. We have to, as Rachel Watkins was talking about in her segment, talk about the anguish we're feeling, talk about the struggles and the confusion that we're facing, and say, okay, Lord, this is where I'm at. What do you want me to do with this? Show me how to respond to this in a way that will glorify you, that will bring out the best in me and help me be my best self, and even challenge the people around me to be their best self and see your power and glory working in my life. What would that look like? Show me. And then you do what that reflection and that prayer challenges you to do in both small ways, facing the challenges of that particular day, and big ways, responding to the large disappointment in your life too. It gives you a way forward. And if you're struggling to do that, then reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'd be happy to walk with you through this process. But that's the goal. To not just say, oh, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Oh, you know, Jesus is saying, oh, I love you and it's going to be okay.
Or eventually I'll feel better. No, it really is an invitation to let God through, to be guided by him And gives you steps to move forward.
And to let him show up for you in a mighty way that helps you feel blessed, even in the middle of the grief. 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Heartbroken. Are you struggling to heal a broken heart? Whether because of grief, betrayal, loss, disappointment, we want to help you find the path back to wholeness and discover the next chapter God has for you. 877-573-7825. We will be back right after this. Stick around.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threat to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
This is Cy Kellett. Join me for Catholic Answers Live. It's 2 hours dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Designed for Catholics and non-Catholics alike, it's your opportunity to hear from and talk with some of the leading apologists and theologians in the church today. You've got questions? We've got Catholic answers. Catholic Answers Live, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to
More to Life.
Thank
I'm
you.
Dr. Greg Popcheck, and I'm here with my wife, Lisa Popcheck.
Who apparently a frog jumped in my throat during that break, but I'm back now.
The show today titled Heartbroken, as we talk about the challenges of dealing with disappointment, loss, grief, betrayal, all the times when life just doesn't work out the way we want. You know, I mentioned earlier, we have a book called The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about dealing with the disappointments in the light of faith. How do we respond to these letdowns, these frustrating situations, these chronic situations? How do we experience God's grace and mercy? And more importantly, how do we hear his call of how to respond to those things and discover what he is calling us to in the middle of all of that? 877-573-7825. If you are heartbroken and are looking for ways to respond to that pain that leads to the resurrection after the cross, give us a call. Let's work it out. But if you want more support, check out the book, The Life God Wants for You, at available at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, who's up next?
Let's talk now with Patty, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Alabama.
Patty, welcome to the program. How can we help you out today?
Hi, thanks. I always get nervous when I'm calling.
You're good. We don't bite anymore, not since the incident, so you're safe. Okay. We had a good talking
right
to about it. We don't, yeah. So.
Right when Lisa got that frog, I got one too, so I'm like, oh, God.
Okay, well, so, we can tough it through together.
What's up?
Oh, so God is good all the time. So I lost my husband 10 years ago, and then right after, a year later, my mom, a year later, kidney cancer, so went through a lot. And I just want to say, stay, you know, everything you've been saying today about grief just is wonderful, because it's horrible, but there are so many rewards after you work through it. And one of the beautiful things that happened for me was I did, in 2023, meet a new man after a trip to Holy Land, of all things. God brought me this wonderful man, and we got married in 2024. He also lost his spouse to brain cancer. Like, so he's like on the scale of, it was 5 years ago for him, like 10 years ago for me. We are so happy, and I'm so blessed to have this man. We just love each other. That's not the issue. But then I get, he tends to bring up his late wife quite a bit still, and sometimes I'm just like, oh, I wish we just didn't have to have this conversation now. So I think my question is kind of about boundaries, or how do I go about even have a conversation with him, because I'm kind of carrying this around and not having.
So let me ask you, and this might be, and this is going to be something you guys are going to need to talk about, obviously, and maybe even pray through. I'm going to suggest some ways to do that. But before we get into that, I'm just curious. You know, if you were going to say, you know, if it was up to me, Patty, you know, this is how I would like us both to kind of share about our previous marriage, about our deceased spouses, what would be a sort of a safe and healthy and appropriate way to do that? Do you have any sense of that to begin with?
I've been praying about that. I don't have a whole lot other than maybe set us down, like have a mass for them once a month or something like that, where it's a very dedicated and specific time that we would.
But is there a way
them.
For you guys to talk? Like, can you imagine? I think that's a beautiful idea. I'd encourage you to do that. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. But in terms of the conversation between the two of you, you know, are there times when he brings up his deceased wife that seem okay, and are versus times when he's bringing it up that doesn't seem as okay? So I would like you to actually reflect on that. Like, when does it seem okay for you?
More comfortable you to be able to have.
Yeah, when does it feel appropriate?
Those things.
You know, and kind of be able to go to him and say, look, I think it's important for both of us to be able to acknowledge that we were married before, that our spouses are deceased, that we have good memories there and experiences that are part of us.
And perhaps even really recognize that they're in the communion of saints and they're praying for both of you. And you can even ask both of them to pray for your marriage, because they know that God has brought the two of you together now, and your spouses are there working for your good, interceding for you. So it's all right to say, hey, let's just, you know, I know we miss them. I know these things come up sometimes. Let's just ask them to pray for us.
But I would say, you know, so in addition to that, then, you know, talking to him about it, when you talk about your deceased wife in these ways or at these times, that feels okay to me. But when we talk about our deceased spouses in these ways, that doesn't feel as good. And let's talk about why that might be. And then secondly, you want to identify what's the intention. Why is he bringing her up then? What is it that he's trying to do? What's the goal? And then you guys could really talk and pray about how else you might be able to meet that need or serve that goal that he's got. Because you don't want to just say, don't do this. There's some need or intention he's trying to meet by bringing this up, but it rubs you the wrong way. So anytime that happens, with this issue or anything else, it's good to identify what is it that this person is trying to accomplish by doing this or saying this. And could we talk about ways to meet that need or serve that intention in ways that actually work for me too? So then you can brainstorm about that. So you're honoring the intention. You're even giving examples of times when it seems okay. But then you're approaching those times when it doesn't feel as good, you know, in a way that's curious and open and accepting and loving and allows you guys to brainstorm different ways to respond to that. The third thing that I want you to do, though, is also talk a little bit about how you could experience greater connection and greater security in the relationship. What are the things that because I'm going to guess that when you are feeling closer to your husband, when you're feeling more connected with each other, it's going to bother you less that he brings her up. And it might even be that in those times when you are feeling closer and connected that he'll bring her up less. I mean, I don't know that that's
there's a probability of that.
So asking, you know, because a lot of times people will say, well, you know, hey, you know, my husband spends too much time with his family, or my husband is spending too much time with it. And then you make the issue, I want you to stop doing those things, right? But the real issue is, I really need us to spend more time with each other. I need us to give more attention to each other. So in addition to addressing the conversation about how you both honor the spouses that passed before, the other question has to be, how do you make sure that you're attending to each other in a way that helps you feel secure enough in the relationship that you have with each other? And it sounds like you have a good marriage. It sounds like you're in a good place. You know he loves you. You love each other. But it's not a bad thing to really regularly, even in that situation, to talk about what you need to do to strengthen that connection so that you feel a little less threatened by the memory of his deceased wife.
Then you can have the marriage that God really wants you to have.
So I'd encourage you actually to download the podcast of today's program and play it for your husband and use that as a springboard for ongoing prayer and discussion about where to go with it next. And if there's more we can do to support you in that conversation, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And it goes for you listeners as well. If you are struggling to overcome heartbreak due to grief, loss, betrayal, disappointment, let us help you find graceful ways to respond to that pain and discover where God's calling you to next. Reach out at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that there's so much more with God's grace.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.